won't you turn to page number 390? Let's all of us stand tonight and sing There's Power in the Blood. All right, first and last now. Sunday evening, and again we are thankful for the Lord allowing us the opportunity to go over and be with Floyd Road tonight. And now, boy, we almost had a spell over here for a little while. I mean, the Holy Spirit was there, and it was a great, great time. And our folks and their folks just joined in. And again, you're not going to want to miss that night and miss that week if you can go over there. I know that Floyd Road would love for us to be over there every night that we can. It'll start on that Monday evening. They have homecoming next Sunday. Then it'll start and run Monday through Thursday, I believe, as we do. And we'll be there on Tuesday, not this week now, but the following week. We'll be there on Tuesday, the 27th. Services start that night at 7. So please make that a matter of prayer. And let's ask the Lord to be with us tonight. And I know our folks are a little tired in the body, but Lord is going to make up for it in the spirit. Amen. So we pray for Pastor tonight as he brings us a message here in a few moments. Pray for the choir. We may break out into a chorus here in just a few moments and just see what the Lord might have for us. But let's ask the Lord to be with us tonight. Pray for all those that are sick and going through difficult times physically, and a lot of folks going through some very difficult times. And so we just want to lift them up in prayer, ask the Lord's blessing on the offering. Brother Charlie Wilson, would you take us to the Lord tonight in a word of prayer? coming soon. He answers prayer. You believe that?
He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so
back and sing, God is so good now.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so
down. As they do go down, why don't you stand up and let's just shake hands with one another. There's only a few of us here. We ought to be able to get around to everybody. Shake hands with everybody in the house tonight. Hug a neck or two and just tell them everybody it's good to see them in the house of the Lord is here.
Excellent, excellent. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 25. Like Brother Harold said, and back up to verse number 24. Learn to me, brother. Hebrews 11 and verse number 25. And we have had a fun-filled day today and had a great time again, as Brother Allen stated, over at Floyd Road and with combined choirs and the strength of that combined choir. It just felt really good. Felt really good. But we are, as I say often, we're on the threshold of a brand new week and going into Monday. And I always try to transition mentally from Sunday to Monday in the sense of knowing that things are different in the world than it is in church. And some of you go to real jobs and you punch a time clock and you deal with real issues out there. And so I always want to be mindful to try to touch on subjects that can be beneficial to you from a day-to-day grind. This morning we spoke of some things out of Hebrews. Seems as though the Lord has had us here for a little while. And we spoke about God's desired tabernacle this morning. And we mentioned some things there. Last Sunday morning we spoke about let us go on. But tonight we're going to change gears a little bit and just bring a practical message found in verse number 25. Notice, if you would, what the Bible says, Hebrews 11 and verse number 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want to take that verse tonight and I want to preach a very, very simplistic message entitled, Staying Out is Easier Than Getting Out. I'll say that again. Staying out is easier than getting out. I heard a preacher a few weeks ago on the radio preach, in fact, WDCY, and he was preaching on being wrapped up and entangled in strongholds. And he made a statement. In fact, I'm borrowing that statement he made. He said, you know, it's just easier to stay out of bondage, to stay out of sin, than it is to get out of it. And that really resonated within my heart, because what a profound statement that is. In fact, it's kind of like the monkey who wanted to get to the grain on the inside of a coconut. And so he stuck his hand through an opening of the coconut and he grabbed a handful of the walls of that coconut and he tried to get out of it. He wanted what was on the inside and he tried to get out and get out and get out, and he could not get out and get what he wanted at the same time. And a lot of the times that can be a picture of us in life, living in the kind of world we're living in and dealing with the flesh, the human nature we have. There's times where we go after things, and not necessarily great sinful things, just maybe things that wouldn't promote our Christian growth along. So we try to get it, and we try to embrace it and make it part of our lives, but yet we just can't seem to get a hold of it. And I want to say tonight that it's easier to just stay out of it than it is to get out of it. You see, that monkey, while he had a hand of what he was wanting on the inside, could not get out as long as he had a handle on it. But when he let go, he was able to get out. I want to deal with some things tonight when it comes to hurts, habits, and hang-ups. These are some areas that it's easier to just stay out of them than it is to get out of them. Kind of like the spider in the spider web, or the insect that's caught in the spider web. And the spider is going after that insect, and the more he tries to break his way free, he just gets more tangled and more tangled and more tangled in that web. And you know, tonight when it comes to being free in Jesus, there's really one remedy for that when it comes to being in bondage, and that is absolute, total surrender. Absolute surrender. The more we try to tailor-make and tailor-made our situation, we try to make it seem not so harsh, and we try to shave down the jagged edges of it, how it hurts our conscience, and sometimes it hurts our heart. And we try to wrestle with it, we try to war with it, and make sense out of it. But real freedom is an absolute surrender tonight. And so staying out is easier than getting out. When we look at Moses, we looked at him this morning, but when we look at Moses, notice again verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That phrase, suffer affliction with the people of God, means that Moses made a commitment and a decision to endure persecution together with the people of God. He said, I could have stayed in Egypt, or I could have stayed with Pharaoh in his courts, and I could have had a name in Pharaoh's courts, and I could enjoy the fancies of life and the worldly things that follow in Pharaoh's courts, enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. But he said, I have chosen to commit myself to just endure persecution together with the people of God. He says, it's easier to stay out than to get out. Just imagine if Moses stayed longer than he did in Pharaoh's court, past the age of 40. Being well known and accumulating things and possessions. Imagine how much harder it would have been for him to get out of that. But we know that God in His providence led Moses other places. And so tonight I want to look at this just for a few moments. Three things. Three things tonight that will ensure our staying out of habits, hang-ups, and even hurts. So if you got a pen and you'd like to jot them down, you can. Just follow along with us. Number one, if we're going to stay out, which is easier than getting out, we need to acknowledge our frame. There needs to be an acknowledgement of our frame. We're in Hebrews. Turn to the left, if you would. Follow along in Romans chapter number 7. Romans 7 and verse number 15. We have the Apostle Paul here, and he is acknowledging his frame. He says in verse number 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Then in verse number 22, he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Let's stop there for a moment. Paul here, he makes a personal acknowledgement of his frame. He says, because of Jesus, I want to do good. I strive to do good. He says, but every time I go to do good and strive to do good, there is this part of me that is drawing me back and holding me back. He says, I don't want to be held back. I want to move forward. I want to have victory in my life, is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that I recognize my frame. I acknowledge that within me dwells no good thing. And I want you to follow, if you would, in verse number 23. He says, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." And if we carry on in verse number 24, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I can't tell you how many times in chapter number 7 we have the letter I. When you go home tonight, you can follow and look and see how many times, I believe it's close to 20 or over 20 times, that you'll find the letter I in this chapter. And that's because it's Paul in his carnal nature trying to walk with God. And he finds a problem doing that. He says, man, and you go through there so many times, I here, I then I find a law, I this, I that. Paul is trying to accomplish the spiritual walk with the carnal man, and he cannot do that. And so we get down to verse number 24. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Notice that phrase there, the body of this death. Back in those days, a form of Roman punishment in that government would be that they would attach a dead man to your back, and you would be chained arm to arm, and he would be on your back, and everywhere you go and everything you do under their watchful eye, you would have to carry along that dead person on your back everywhere. I mean, exhaustion and fatigue and sure enough bondage carrying that dead man. And Paul is giving reference here to the old nature. He says, I'm carrying around a dead man. Paul says, I know my frame. He says, there is nothing good about me but Jesus. He says, I want to live for God, and I want to live a life of victory. He says, but every time I go to do that, he says, there is this restraining force on the inside. He says, it's the flesh versus the spirit. It's kind of like the two wolves, or it's kind of like two wolves. Which one you feed the most will dominate. And so we see Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In verse 25, is Paul's great awakening. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And then in chapter number 8 is the spirit-filled life. You see, Paul recognized his frame is shamed. And he recognized that there is an inward battle. And I want to say tonight, staying out is easier than getting out when we recognize that there's nothing good about us and we are vulnerable to be in bondage and fall to sin. I mean, that's just a given. The man who lives a life of victory is the man or the woman who knows that they're one decision away from totally destroying their testimony. That's the successful Christian. And so chapter number 8 gets into the spirit-filled life. But tonight, when it comes to staying out being easier than getting out, we need to acknowledge our frame. And Paul was well acquainted with this struggle. Number 2, if we want to be successful over these hurts and habits and hang-ups, staying out of those, which is easier than getting out of those, there needs to be an acknowledgement of our frame. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, there needs to be an abandonment of the known. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. An abandonment of the known. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Look in verse number 3. Paul again writing, he says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your maturity, your fruitfulness, your becoming more like Christ. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of consumptuance, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Verse number 4 gives us, and Paul tells us about a knowledge here, a knowledge of known struggles. We know we must acknowledge our frame, that we have an inner man that is warring against the spirit. But in these verses, Paul goes a step further and he says that we need to know how to possess our vessel unto honor. He says there needs to be an abandonment of the known. Look at verse 4 again. He says that every one of you should know how, to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And so just to give a layman's term there in verse number 4, summarization, that is, we ought to know how to live our lives for it to be a life of victory. He says you ought to know how, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. So he talks about an abandonment of the known. What's our struggles tonight? Don't raise your hand, don't say it. What's my struggle tonight? What's your struggle tonight, our struggles? If we know it's a struggle, then we need to abandon anything that promotes us going near that struggle. He says that we ought to know how to possess, or that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Let me ask you this. What would it take to further you along in your Christian life? And on the contrary, what does it take to slow your progression? And whatever it is that slows your progression, slows my progression, that may be a struggle of mine, I already know what I should do before the struggle even arises in my day. He says, I need to know how to possess my vessel. Do you know how to possess your vessel tonight? Are there places that you go? Is there places that I go? Is there things that I watch? Are there things that you watch that kind of cause you to deter from God and Christian growth? We're all human. We experience these things from time to time. We're living in a fallen world. We have an Adamic nature, a fallen nature. But there's a struggle going on. That's why we need to know our frame. And that's why we need to know our struggles so we can abandon those struggles. And again, God knows before he saved us that this will be a progression, not an instantaneous achievement. Thank God to that. God knows that we want to hit his bullseye of holiness. Many times we fall short, but God knows it. God knows it. That's why he and his Holy Spirit possesses us and convicts us and corrects us, not to hurt us, but he might show us what works and what don't work. And I'm glad that the Lord does that. Although sometimes it's painful and although sometimes it's costly as to how the Holy Spirit works in our life and how we get to that place of knowing how to possess our vessel, sometimes it's costly to get to that place. Sometimes we pay more than we're willing to pay to get to that place. But I'm glad that we can get to that place of knowing what we should and should not be doing. We see an abandonment of the known to stay out. We see an acknowledgement of our frame to stay out as opposed to getting out when it comes to hurts, habits, and hang-ups. But then lastly, the third thing we're to do to ensure our staying out is arrangements to succeed. Acknowledgement of our frame, abandonment of the known, and then arrangement to succeed. Look in Romans 13 for a moment, and we'll let you go home. Romans 13. Look at verse number, let's start in verse number 11. Romans 13, 11. That knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Verse 14 tells us that we are to arrange, kind of goes with my second point, abandonment of the known, our known struggles. We are to know how to possess our vessel. But this is a tag upon that, meaning that we are to arrange our success. He says, make not provision for the flesh. Don't make it easy to sin for yourself. Don't make it easy to sin. If you have a problem with eating too many sweets, Don't put it in the cabinet at the house. Don't put it in the cabinet at the house. And listen, as much as I tell Christy and Lily, I say, honey, I said, I am done with the sweets. We've already been to the grocery store when I say that. I say, I'm done. I'm going to do better. And I do. I have times of success, you know. But I'm telling you, when it gets near nighttime, and everybody's drifting off to sleep, and that TV's glowing, my favorite program comes on, there's just something in the back of my mind dragging me to the kitchen. And all of a sudden, we got some amens. We got some finger pointing over here. And amen. And I struggle within myself because I know that Christy just got through buying a jumbo box of moon pies. I mean, listen, it can be anything. Yeah, we're really getting spiritual now, aren't we? And I find myself going to that cabinet and whew, it was a good day at church today. I served my calling. And if you can tell, I am, really. I get open up them moon pies and just kind of dump them. Drop by the fridge, my favorite drink. Get on that couch and AC. Oh, man. AC blowing. You know, all that's fine and great, but you know what it's doing? It's setting me back. It's setback after setback. Oh, there's pleasure for a season. A couple episodes of my favorite show kind of season. But then after that, I ain't going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. Oh, and listen, this is the thing. I'm not lining myself up for success, am I? And so we need to arrange. And Paul says here, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you have a problem with moon pies, don't buy them. If you have a problem with sweets, don't buy them. I'm trying to get to that point. Hey, there's times where there is success. Listen, there's times. I have lost 100 pounds and gained 100 pounds four times in my life. I know how to do it. I know how it feels on both ends. So it's sometimes it's just a hard thing to learn and grab a hold of. And, you know, staying out is easier than getting out. If you just don't buy this, whatever your struggle is, listen, it may be food, it may not be food, it may be a TV show, it may be all kinds of things. But if we know that it's going to bog us down, wrap us up, stunt our Christian growth, then we need to arrange our success. Don't buy it. Don't look at it on TV. Don't listen to it on the radio. Listen, don't drive on that road. If it's something on that road that is causing you to deter from your Christian life, don't go that way. And that's the challenge tonight, is to get to the point of committing not to go that way. But that all brings me back to my main point this morning and my main verse in Hebrews. As Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, he stayed out, and it was easier to do it that way than to get out. And you've been there. I've been there. We've had hurts and habits and hang-ups and things in our life. We know the game. We know the drill. We know the hurt. We know the pain. And so my main idea tonight, my word of encouragement, is just to stay out. Keep our hands out of the coconuts and let the monkeys have them. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness, God. I thank you for Christian brotherly love, Lord. The time of fellowship even this evening was a great time, Lord. And this morning service, and God, those that you're moving upon their hearts, Lord, to do things at the church, Lord, I'm just thankful that we have a serving church. We have a great church. Help us, Lord, to slowly and surely move on, take steps ahead And Father, help us realize tonight that it is much easier to stay out than it is to get out. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything to mention, we'll just be dismissed right where we are tonight. Go ahead and stand to your feet. We'll at least keep that part of it tonight. Anything to mention, any announcements, Brother Allen, you got anything? All right. Well, again, let's just remember midweek service, and let's just remember not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday as we go and sing at Floyd Road. It's going to be a great time, and remember one another in prayer. Anybody have anything? All right. Brother Allen, would you close us out?